I want to thank you for your presence, and I'm often reminded of the little boy that kept asking his mother why they kept giving that guy that stood up in front presents. That's not what I mean. I'm glad you're here. I think that went over everybody's head. Anyway, if Jesus was preaching next Sunday in this location, we could probably fill this building many times over. Probably many times just out of curiosity. We would probably have people coming just because Jesus is a historical figure, or they think he's just a historical figure. We might even have some atheists and evolutionists that come because Jesus is going to be here. And it's a daunting thing to think about Jesus actually coming and standing up before us to preach unto us. Matter of fact, we would probably get a building full of people from denominations that want to ask Jesus about what they believe is going to take place, such as the rapture or the battle of Armageddon or many other things that they have twisted the scriptures into teaching and believing that are not correct. Why, even the Pope might come. I kind of doubt it, but it's possible he'd come. But I want you to stop and think for just a moment. About Jesus coming and standing before us. And I want you to picture in your mind, actually, Jesus doing that. He's going to be here next Sunday in our congregation to teach class and to preach unto us. And I want you to ask yourself how you would feel, what you would think about. I think that it would make some people in the church uncomfortable. You ought to ask yourself, would I be afraid what Jesus might say to me? Because you know Jesus taught like that when he was on earth. He would tell you. He knew about you and who you were. You couldn't hide anything from him. And let's say next Sunday, if Jesus was preaching, you would not be able to hide anything from him. There might be some people, stay home. Would you be afraid that he might walk up to you and tell you in your face what you need to do to go to heaven? And what would that mean? It would mean probably that you're in danger. What if he asked you in particular about your prayer life? Because he would know about your prayer life. What if he asked you about Brother Baker's lesson last Sunday? Would you be able to tell him what it was? What you learned from it? You see, Jesus has that capability. And that might scare some people. Or if you haven't been baptized, he might ask you why you haven't been baptized, because he would know. And he probably would know the reason. And you couldn't lie to him. Or you couldn't make something up, or you couldn't try to dodge the question, because he knows. And he would know. What if he wanted to give you a Bible quiz? Would that make you nervous? Would you think back in your mind, oh boy, I should have been studying a little harder. Excuse me. Would you be afraid that he might bring something up in your life, some sin that people don't know about? It's a sobering thought, isn't it? To think about Jesus, our Savior, our King, our Redeemer, standing in this pulpit, standing before us. It's a sobering thought. I suppose that if Jesus was preaching this next Sunday, we might all do some things differently because we're human. I kind of doubt if our worship service would be exactly like it is today because of who He is. I know in the first century that when He preached, crowds gathered around Him. Wouldn't you want to be close to the Savior? I would. I'd sit right up here on the front if He was preaching next Sunday, because I want to be close to Him. Let's examine ourselves for a short period of time. That's what I want to do in this lesson, is I want you to think about this. And as I go through this lesson, I want you to answer the questions for yourself. What you would think, how you would act, would it be any differently than how you act today? Let's see as we go through this lesson. What if Jesus looked at you and said, "Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" What if He came down and He looked you straight in the face, Chris, and He said, "Can a man take fire to his bosom and not be burned?" Would He be telling you something? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. How would you feel if Jesus said that to you in front of everybody else, or even to yourself? How would you feel? You've been hiding that. You've been putting off making that right. But Jesus knows. And if He was preaching next Sunday, He might just do that very thing. What if He said to you, "Six things I hate, yes, seven are abomination to me: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." What if He said that to you individually? Would you stop and think, have I sown discord among brethren? Am I guilty of that? When have I done that, Lord? When did I do that? Well, He could tell you if He came up to you and made that particular point. What if Jesus looked at you and said, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger"? What would He be telling you if He said that to you? Maybe you have a problem with your temper. Maybe you can easily be angered. Maybe you've struck out to one of your brethren and said hurtful things, and Jesus knows it, and He came up to you and said that to your face. How would you feel? Would you take care of that problem? What if He said, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he's even his enemies be at peace with him"? People in the world, I know we all have people that dislike us. Some dislike us because of what we believe, because we're Christians. But if you follow the truth and the gospel, then you please the Lord. How do you act around people? Would Jesus know there's something in your life, some way you've treated someone, that He would bring out and point out to you next Sunday? Now you think about these things for yourself, and I think about them for myself. You examine yourself, and I'll examine myself. What if Jesus looked at you and said, "He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at calamity will go unpunished." You know that I have heard Christians laugh at the troubles that non-Christians have had? Maybe they do deserve some of the things that happens to them. But am I the one to point that out? If Jesus said that to you, would it be making a point to you? Would you understand what he's trying to say to you? And I put the scriptures up there. I hope you can see them. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker, and he who is glad at calamities will not go unpunished. You know, we live among poor people in our country. And I have heard people say derogatory things towards poor people. Are you guilty of that? Am I guilty of that? Would we be ashamed if Jesus was preaching next Sunday? What if Jesus looked at you and said, For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. What if he walked up to you and said that, and you've been in the church 40 years, or 30 years, or 20 years, or even 10, or even 5? Would that say something to you? Jesus would know that by this time you had ought to be able to teach the gospel. Men and women alike. Jesus would know if he was preaching next Sunday. What would he say to us as individuals? For I know if Jesus was preaching next Sunday, we would want to talk to him individually, wouldn't we? Or would we be afraid to? I'd like to ask Jesus a lot of things. But if I had something in my life that I was afraid he was going to point out, I'd probably be hesitant to ask him. Or would we get down on our knees and say, "Forgive us"? If Jesus was preaching next Sunday, would you be glad? Would you be glad if Jesus actually came down to the earth to preach to us next Sunday? I'm afraid some people would not be glad. Because some people don't show up to hear his word or to learn about him under normal circumstances. But would you be glad? Would you be glad if he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." What if he walked up and said that to you? I had a Christian down in South Texas tell me, "Oh, that commandment's not to us. We don't have to do that because that was to his disciples in the first century. We don't have to do that. There's no way," he said, "I can go throughout all the world and teach the gospel. That wasn't to us." There's a principle involved. What if he walked up and said that to you? Would that mean to you that you have not been doing what he commanded you to do? Jesus knows, you know. He knows. Would you be glad if he said, "Be not deceived, evil company corrupts good habits or morals"? David talked about this morning. What if he walked up that and said that to you? I would fall down on my knees in embarrassment if I had companions that could corrupt my morals. Be not deceived, he said. You know, there's an old saying, if you run with the dogs, you get fleas, right? How would you like it if Jesus said that to you? That's a sobering thought, I believe. Or if he said, "Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Have you ever been persecuted as a Christian? Probably have. I have. Not anything serious. They would hide my lunch or, you know, scratch my name on the wall, or when I worked at GM, they'd, you know, make fun of me, call me a Bible thumper because I'd take my Bible to work and read when I had a chance. A little persecution, not anything serious. What if Jesus said to me that to love your enemies? What if he come up to me and said that to me, "Love your enemies," because I'm not doing it? Wouldn't that be embarrassing? It's not something I want to go through. It's not something I want to face Jesus with. Would you be sad to hear? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. If he walked up to you and said that, Jay, what would that say to you? Kenny? Any of us, me, what would that say to us? Preach the word. Would that mean we're not doing it? You know, the church will grow if we work and we get out and preach the word. But if it doesn't, that's not what we're supposed to key in on. We're supposed to key in on preaching the word. God will give the increase. As Marilyn and I travel all over the country, we see churches that are growing and churches that are not growing. And the ones that are growing are the ones that are working. They're busy for the Lord's work. Would Jesus say that to any of us? Or how about you women? Women, would you be sad if he said, "Adorn yourselves in modest apparel with all propriety and moderation"? If he walked up to you and said that, would that mean you're not doing that? It's a sobering thought, I believe. How about this? "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." You know, women today, and even in the church, I know from her firsthand experience, have trouble in some cases, not all women, but some of them have trouble with subjection, being in subjection. What does that mean? Have you studied your Bible enough to know what that means? And what if he walked up to you, one of the women in the church, and said this? Would you realize what he's trying to say to you? Does he have to call your name out and say, "So-and-so"? The head of every woman is man. And man, or men, the head of every man is Christ. Would he have to call your name out? Would you be embarrassed if Jesus said to you, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world"? If he came up and said that to you, do you think maybe you might be complaining and murmuring? You know, I forget the guy's name. He used to be head of Chrysler Corporation, but he had a statement. Either lead, follow, or get out of the way. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. If Jesus walked up and said that to you, would you examine yourself and say, well, maybe I'm griping too much, or maybe I'm complaining about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, or I'm complaining because I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that. I don't want to clean the building. I don't want to help with the communion. I don't want to do anything but walk in the door, and then I complain about those that do things. Would you be embarrassed if Jesus said to you, young people, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You young people, would you be embarrassed? Would you be frightened if Jesus, next Sunday, walked up to you and said one of those things? Would it make you realize that maybe you're doing something wrong? That you need to obey your parents? You know, your parents are not going to make all right decisions in life. But they're your parents, and they've been around longer than you have. And they're going to do what's best for you in most cases, if they're Christians. If Jesus was preaching next Sunday, would you tell all your friends what Jesus said? Hey, I heard Jesus was at your congregation last week. What did he tell you? What did he say? Well, he told me I had this problem, or, you know, I can't remember what he said exactly, or I wasn't paying attention, or Jesus was preaching last Sunday at our congregation. I didn't know anything about it. Would you tell your friends, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly to him? I have a friend that he's not a member of the church. He's a member of a denomination. And him and I get into religious discussions on a regular basis. And he always interrupts me and answers before I get through. And the Bible says, would you be afraid to tell your friends that do that, that this scripture? Jesus knows if you're afraid. Jesus knows if you have the strength to stand up for him in a spirit of gentleness and meekness. Would you tell all your friends, whosoever divorces his wife for any reason except for sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery? Would you tell them that Jesus said that? You know, we've got some bad problems in the church when it comes to this subject. Would you be willing to tell your friends that Jesus said this if they lived in those conditions? Or how about, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned? How many times a week, ask yourself, how many times a week do I try to talk to someone about the gospel? To tell them about Jesus. I'll never forget a friend of mine. One time I was an auditor in General Motors, an audited car quality, and had a friend, and he was a member of the church. And our particular secretary that worked upstairs and did our paperwork, we got news that she was dying with cancer. She had cancer, had just learned she had cancer. And he put his tools down. He said, I've got to go talk to her about Jesus. And he walked off, left me standing there. I thought, well, I need to do that too. How many times a week do you speak Jesus' name? Do you speak God's name to someone? Jesus would know. Jesus would know. If Jesus was preaching next Sunday, would you be on time? When all other times you're late? You might hear Jesus say, "Whosoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." I've been in congregations when people would come in right when the communion was being served. Now, I realize there are times you can't get there on time. It's happened to me. I was almost late a couple of Sundays ago because of a traffic problem on the highway. There's times that happen. But what's important in your life? Is getting there on time important? Jesus would know if it's important to you to get there on time. Would you be on time if Jesus said to you, like a bird that wanders from its nest, a man who wanders from his, is like a man that wanders from his, like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place, that don't know his place. That doesn't have control of his spirit. What if Jesus said that to you next Sunday? You know, I like to be there early. And sometimes Marilyn thinks I'm a little crazy because I want to be first in line at the grocery store. I always want to be first for some reason. I don't know why. I want to be in the front. I just want to be there early. What if you have a flat on the way, or what if you have to stop and pull the ox out of the ditch? Think about it. You got to prepare ahead of time. Be ready, because we're coming to see the Lord. See, I bet you that if the Lord was preaching next Sunday, there wouldn't be anybody late, would they? I don't think so. And I'm not picking on you or anybody in here. It happens all over the country because some people just don't have their priorities straight. Now, these are hard things, but this is reality. And this is what would take place probably if Jesus was preaching next Sunday. What if he said, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to him rather than give the sacrifice of fools"? You know, Jesus has to be the main thing in our life. Not our work, not our convertible. Not food. Or clothing. Jesus has to be the main thing in your life. And you will think about the main thing in your life. It's natural. That's what you'll think about. Day unto day, night unto night, you will think about what's most important in your life. Test yourself. Because it would be a sobering thing if Jesus was preaching next Sunday. Would you be on time knowing that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements would melt with fervent heat? Both the earth and the works that are therein would be burned up. Would you be late knowing that Jesus had the power to make that happen? Would you be on time knowing that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go thereby in? You see, we develop habits over our life. And sometimes our habits are not good. And you have to really stop and think, is this habit going to keep me from walking through that narrow gate? If Jesus was preaching next Sunday, would you dress in your best? Now, I know there's no dress code in church, to go to church. And some people don't have clothing that they can wear, and it's an individual thing between them and God. But I witnessed one time a young man got up to serve the Lord's table, and he had a t-shirt on that said, Coors Beer. Didn't put much thought into that, did he? Of course, it caused a big uproar in the church, and there was much discussion about it, and he apologized and that sort of stuff. But a lot of times we can go to a funeral and dress our best because we have respect for the person that has died. Or we can go to graduation and we dress our best. But sometimes we don't think that way when it comes to the worship service. And we're here to honor Jesus and to be representative of Him. I've seen young women wear shorts to church. If you go down south where the beaches are, you're liable to see that. Young girls walk in the church with their parents in shorts. Would you dress your best because of who He is? Well, who is He? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir to all things, of all things. Through Him also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Who do you think would be standing up here if Jesus was preaching next Sunday? This man. This deity. Would you change your thinking for next Sunday than you have today? That's what I want you to examine yourself about. Would you think differently? Would you act differently? Would you do differently just because Jesus is going to preach next Sunday? It's a good question. If Jesus was preaching next Sunday, would you sing to Him with all your heart? Think about that. Knowing that, for we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Do you understand that? That we have a high priest that understands us? To have somebody in heaven that understands you, wouldn't you glorify that person? Would you sing with all your heart and might to that person and worship him? Sobering thought, isn't it? And because having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. I would love to worship Jesus in song. If Jesus was here next Sunday to preach, would we be excited that we get to sing to him? Because we sing songs about him and worship him. Wouldn't we want to do that if he was up here in front of us, sing praises to him? Do you think of it that way? Do I think of it that way when we sing? It's not a matter of how good you sing. It's a matter of what's in here and what you're thinking about. And are you really praising Jesus when we sing these songs? All right, well, we've sang that song 500 times. I know the words. I can sing it. I think about something else while I'm singing it. If Jesus was preaching next Sunday, would you listen to his every word? Knowing that he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Would you listen to his every word? I bet you would. Did you today? Did you last week? I bet you would next Sunday if Jesus was preaching. Would you act different? Would you be different? Would you talk different? Would you sing different? Would you pray differently? Ask yourself these things. It's important. And because he said the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Wouldn't you love to hear Jesus say that? That would be marvelous. To hear my Savior stand up here and tell me about heaven. That just gives me goosebumps to think about that. And if Jesus was preaching next Sunday, would you commune with him at his supper? Knowing that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would that mean more to you next Sunday if Jesus said that to you? In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Would you concentrate more on Jesus if he was here preaching next Sunday and we're partaking of the Lord's Supper? Would you think about his death, his life before men, the gifts of heaven he brought from heaven, just because he was here next Sunday? And if Jesus was preaching next Sunday, would you respond to his invitation? Would you listen to him and believe him because he's here next Sunday? Would you repent and confess of your sins to him Would you do as he says and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Would you live faithful the rest of your life? Revelation 2:10. Until death. Or would you decide to postpone until a more convenient season? Ask yourself these questions. The point is, Jesus is speaking at this location through his written word every Sunday. Are you listening? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we appeal to Thee at this time for strength and encouragement, and ask You to lend unto us Your wisdom that we may walk upon this earth as shining lights unto the world and represent Jesus in our daily lives. Give us strength and courage and the willingness to stand up under persecution, to be true and faithful to ourselves and to our King, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, even unto death. May we be forgiven of our sins and our shortcomings. And may we examine ourselves daily to see if we walk in the light. We pray all these things in His name. Amen. If you're subject to invitation tonight, don't wait until tomorrow, because today is the day of salvation. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. Come as we stand and sing.
The great physician now is here, the sin of thy King Jesus, he takes a dream.